No, you can't. Okay.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll pull it up, okay? Well, welcome to the library. We have a very special guest here today, a legendary performer for more than 20 years in the New York City Ballet.
30.
More than 30 years. 30
and a half.
In the New York City Ballet.
Can you hear me now? A little bit? Okay.
Oh. Use the microphone.
Yes.
Anyway, she has written her first children's book about a very determined swan, and I think all of you, especially you ballerinas, are going to enjoy the program.
Did you ever perform in the Nutcracker?
Yes.
Okay, let's welcome Allegra Kent first.
I did perform in the Nutcracker. The first thing I did was a mouse. But I wasn't as small as a mouse. I was a little bigger. Yes. Oh, lovely to meet you. What's your name? Uh-huh. So, would you like me to read the book?
Yes.
But usually the questions are after, but we could do it, you know, before, after, and maybe even during. So, this is a book, Swan. Ballerina Swan. It's nice I don't know the name of the book. Here's the first illustration, which is looks very much like Central Park, the Central Park Pond. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to agree, but I think it does. And can you see the swan there?
Yeah.
In the
pond? Yeah.
Good,
yeah.
Good. Wow. Okay. So I will be able to show you everything. Yeah. Do you want to clean this? Pass the Kleenex forward.
All right.
I'll begin talking again. Sugar Pond in the city. Sophie loved to watch the dancers in Madame Myrtle's dance school. She saw them bend and stretch and stand on their toes. And she saw them spin, turn, and leap. I lost the cover in that. It's bad the gesture there. So, this is a page turner. One day, Sophie flew to the window ledge for a better look at in the studio. And the children stopped dancing and went to get a better look, too. There, there's your Kleenex. There it goes. Thank you. So there's a swan looking in the window of the ballet studio. She's on the ledge outside. Usually, you don't see swans outside the window. Usually, you see a pigeon. But this is unusual. And this is the dance teacher. It's Madame Myrtle in the black outfit, and she says, back to the bar, because she doesn't want any interruption in her ballet class. And so she looks a little severe, like me. And so the next time Sophie decided to watch class, she hid in the corner and sort of looked around. I didn't want to trip on your toes. Because, you know, she's a little frightened of Madame Myrtle. But Sophie couldn't just watch. She had to dance. One day, she gathered her courage and entered the building. Beautiful music drifted out. Can anyone sing some music? Linda, can you sing? Oh, let's hear. And she hoped she wouldn't be noticed. So here's a picture of her, and she's sort of like this. And it's very hard for Swan to make her legs move in a certain way because she's a swan. You know, her legs look different than ours. Of course, you know that. And, but she was indeed noticed. Madame Myrtle shouted, "Shoot!" She wasn't wanted. And Sophie grabbed her lovely neck in shame and withdrew from the farm. I'm so afraid I'm going to trip over and rub. But the next time Sophie decided to watch, she sort of hid in the corner outside, and she kind of did some of the same steps that you might be able to notice. Did you notice it? Yes. But one day, Madame Myrtle didn't appear for class. In her place was a young woman who looked very much like Madame Myrtle, but she wasn't Madame Myrtle. She was younger and way jollier. And the dancers looked jollier, too. They danced higher and lighter than ever before. The music and dancing were irresistible. Sophie decided to take class once again. When the new teacher discovered Sophie, the swan in her studio, Sophie braced herself for what she thought was coming. She thought she was going to be sent away again. But the unexpected happened. Unexpected things do happen, as we know. The teacher, whose name was Miss Willow, ignored the fact that Sophie was feathered, webbed, and winged, and treated Sophie like all her other students. She even gave Sophie a helpful correction, which was, "You're going to have to work on your turnout." Now, well, in ballet, they do this. Does anyone want to demonstrate? Is anyone here taking ballet? Let's have two turns up.
I take ballet in school. Oh.
They do a first position turned out. A little more turned out. That's pretty good. Okay. Thank you so much. What? Oh, good. Okay, well, little. Oh, my gosh. Afterwards, after I finish the book, well, we can all do a first position or so. But then the unexpected happened. I read this already because two people walked in the door that I didn't expect to see. So, when it came time for Grand-Jeté, the terms for ballet are all in French. So Grand-Jeté means a big leap from one leg to the other. And I'm sure you can. And the children jumped as high as they could, but only Sophie could really fly. Here's a picture of Sophie flying, which is quite a nice thing to do. After that, Sophie went to class every day. She learned that some things came very easily to her, and other things were very, very hard. Because of her webbed feet, Sophie had to work extra hard, but she was very good at Grand-Jeté. Because of her long, graceful neck, she was very good at Épaulement. I hear some interesting music up here. Épaulement is the way you use the arms and head. So she's very good at that, but it was a little difficult because she didn't have an arm, she had wings. But she's encouraged to take class. And here is Miss Willow. One day, Miss Willow said to Sophie, "I'm impressed by your hard work and your commitment. I would like you to audition for our end of the school performance, which is going to be Swan Lake." So many emotions flooded Sophie's heart, joy, hope, and fear. Sophie's heart would break if she did not get a part, any part, in the cast. When the day of the audition came, Madame Myrtle joined Miss Willow at the studio, and a new person entered the room, the choreographer, Mr. Walewski. He demonstrated each combination which the children and the swan were required to imitate. Some of the combinations were very hard and familiar, but some were incomprehensible, almost. Here's a picture of Mr. Beletsky. And Mr. Beletsky's name is I made up, actually, but it's a combination of ballet and Balanchine. Uh-huh. Which I'll explain more later. But here he is looking very, very energetic, to say the least. At last, the time came for the roles to be announced. All the dancers were eager and fearful. Sophie was the most eager and fearful of all. As she scanned the list, she did not see her name. She scanned it carefully and another time. Still, she did not see her name. And here's the cast list. Princesses, Gail, Linda, Nina, Mary, Tristan, Joanna, Barbara, Susanna. Friends, Brett, Desmond, Marshall, Gary, Emily, Eric, Bruce, Chip. Swan maidens, Pam, Cassandra, Jessica. What does it say? Lindsay, Ruby, Wendy, Marika, Hollis Guest, Judith, Franco, Roberto, Susie, Bob, Roger, Master of Ceremonies, Clinton, Von Rothbaum, Marcello, Prince Danio, Odette, Persephone, Odile, Flora. Sophie walked off in deep shame. She didn't see her name. She read all those names. She felt shame and disappointment. She bowed her head so low so that no one would see her tears. But someone did see her tears, and it was Madame Myrtle. "Why are you crying?" she asked. "Aren't you happy with your role?" Sophie looked up. "Her role? Your name is on the list, but it's on the other side. Didn't you see it? Mr. Beletsky created a special role just for you. You will be the swan." Do you think that's perfect casting? I do too. And for weeks, Sophie practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. She attended every rehearsal, even rehearsals in which she didn't have a part. And when she wasn't practicing, she listened to her music and pictured the steps in her mind. And here she is. So, and then Madame Myrtle actually gives her a helpful correction, which is nice because Madame Myrtle was reluctant. On the day of performance, Sophie was ready. And she leaps into the air. And that's the story that I wrote. A swan becomes a ballerina. And may I ask you a question?
I go to ballet.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's so good to hear. So let's see. I dedicated this book to quite a few people, but one person was to the memory of George Balanchine, who believed in unusual casting. So, you have a question. And I think, yes.
I have two questions. One is, did you ever have a teacher as strict as Miss Myrtle?
Never. What?
Not possible, but strict,
as strict as Miss Myrtle. But then I never appeared in the window as a swan.
And what inspired you to write children's books?
I just thought it would be a nice idea to have a swan as the star of Swan Lake, because usually dancers aspire to look beautiful birds, and there are all these ballets that are named after birds. Swan Lake, Firebird. There's the Bluebird, Pas de Deux. Well, I'm flapping away. So I thought that would be sort of exchange of.
Is it the one when the Firebirds steal those apples?
Yes. You're right.
I acted it out in my music class sometimes.
Oh. I bet you can't play sing that music. It's Stravinsky. It's really hard.
He has the music.
Yeah. And yes.
It's only from a joke. Because I didn't really get it in the beginning, but now I got it. Miss Myrtle and Miss Willow were both trainers.
Wow! I am so impressed. You're a botanist. Oh my gosh! That's fantastic. Yes, that was deliberate on my part. Wow! Yes. Decided to become a ballerina, and my roommate said, "You can't become a ballerina. You're not fat enough to do that." So I thought that was a joke, but you're not laughing. Anyway, that's when I decided, and then that was just after World War II, and I went to. I'll make this very brief. We went to a school, Nijinsky's Ballet School, sister of Nijinsky, and there were no beginners classes. There were mainly GIs from the war who were studying ballet. So I started ballet with GIs, middle level. So I had a lot of catching up to do, like Sophie. Yes?
Can you tell us a little bit about the process of getting your story made into a book?
Yes. Well, actually, I wrote the story a long time ago, but no one wanted the story, which means publishing houses. But my agent, who is over there, Kate Hamlin, never gave up, which shows what wonderful qualities she has. She never gave up. She sort of like Winston Churchill a little bit. And finally, she found Holiday House. They wanted it, so they took it, and then they assigned an illustrator, and I was so lucky that when I walked into my editor's office, there was some pictures, and that wasn't the illustrator they thought they wanted from me. They had two others in mind, but I saw these illustrations. I didn't know what her name was. I said, I want this person, and that person turned out to be Emily Arnold McCullough. So I was very happy because I know a lot of gestures. Because I love these illustrations so much. You have a question?
Yes, I do. Is this perhaps the first in a series of panel-centric
actually, I'm thinking of going forward with the swan, but I mean, I loved Atlas and Ralph and a few others. But it would have to be a nice studio like this.
Yeah.
14. But, yeah. So, you mean the insect world also, or mainly mammals?
I was thinking of ballet moose.
No, I like that. I'm so glad you like that.
Well, our question was very similar. What are you currently working on?
Ballerina Gets Ready.
Oh.
So that is the first thing that happens in the day is the alarm clock rings. How about that? And then throughout the day she gets ready for cooking. Yeah. In a real theater. I'd like to call it the State Theater because that doesn't exist anymore. Oh, yes. Oh, I didn't.
Can I do a plié?
Oh, please do a plié, yes. I will offer a bar. You want to use the chair? Wait.
Let's thank her.